Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo.
Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome John Graham to the show, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, emotions, mindset, and much, much more. So a quick introduction to John, and then we'll dive in. So John is a three-time USA memory champion and grandmaster of memory. He overcame deep mental and emotional struggles with panic attacks and anxiety, and now mentors high achievers on how they can do the same as well. So, John, welcome to the show today. Glad to have you on here, and I know it's going to be a great conversation, and you've got plenty of value to add. So, yeah, John, like, tell us first of all, what got you into your memory competitions and ultimately winning the championship?
Yeah, it's a good question, because a lot of people assume I must have like a natural ability of memory or a brilliant mind or something like that. It has nothing to do with that. It was 10 years ago, actually. I read a book called Moonwalking with Einstein. It's an incredible book, and it talked about these people, ordinary people, who learn memory techniques and like how to perform mental feats and how to, you know, make associations and use their imagination to memorize insane amounts of information, like memorizing a deck of cards within a couple minutes or a minute or even less than a minute. And I was like, I just got to try that, see if it's real. Because I assumed photographic memory was real, and it's not, it's a myth. So I learned these techniques, and from learning that, I started competing internationally and nationally and just met some incredible people and learned from them. And then the rest is history there.
Oh, wow. So, and then, yeah, took you on to some like big things, obviously. And the coaching as well in memory, which is.
Yeah, I used to coach. I used to be the number one Google result for memory coach, in the U.S. at least. And I just got back from, like, I still do memory. I won last year the U.S. championship, and I just actually got back from China, a week ago. I was on a show called Super Brain, which has, believe it or not, has 400 million people watch this show.
Oh, wow.
So I performed a memory feat in front of that. It hasn't aired yet, but it, you know, 400 million people are about to watch it. So that's pretty cool.
Amazing. Incredible. I love it. Certainly. Yeah. Impressive stuff to try and work on. And you've worked through. So yeah, I guess with you had that interest in memory, but also you've worked through some challenging emotions, and I always believe it's always an ongoing process. There's never a done point with working on our emotions, personally, for me. But sounds like you've come a long way in where you've worked through your emotions. Yeah, tell us a little bit maybe about your story of maybe some of the challenges you used to have with anxiety, panic attacks.
Yeah, I'm happy to share, because it was at one point not too long ago where I was ashamed of this and didn't want to share. You know, it was embarrassing to talk about something like that, anxiety, panic. You know, when I was back when I was training in my early days of memory, this is to 2017, 2018, 2019, when I was close to my peak, I started noticing we would do these head-to-head competitions online with people all over the world. I was like the top three in the world at this platform, like really quick memorization events. We would compete online, and I would go head to head against someone. And in the middle of memorizing in that 1 minute, I would like freeze up, like deer in the headlights, just paralyzed. Like my mind would just freeze. And I was like, what, you know, scared me. I was like, what is going on? I just got overwhelmed, shut down. And people would be like, hey, John, you okay? Like, why didn't you memorize? Like, why didn't you have a score? Did someone interrupt you or whatever? Or something happened, internet glitch? And I would lie. I would be like, yeah, someone walked in. It's okay. Let's just keep going. And I would just move on. But I was like, something's wrong with me. I didn't know what. And it kept happening. I would just like have a big task that day, a big project. And I would just shut down in fear. Like my brain would just freeze up and I would just feel paralyzed. And over the years, it would just start getting worse and worse. I would have more episodes of this. And back then, if you would have asked me, I would have never admitted I had anxiety. Like, I would have been like, no, I'm a calm guy. I'm pretty chill. I don't have stress. But it was just completely delusional. You know, I was a delusional optimist. And it got to the point where not only was I starting to freeze up, but I was starting to have panic attacks. Right. There were a couple times where, and if you've ever had panic attacks, you know how scary they are. Like, they range in severity, of course, but there were a couple times where I was like just with family and friends, and this overwhelming adrenaline rush would surge through my body and like incredibly uncomfortable. Like, so, and you felt like something was incredibly wrong. You know, they say it feels like impending doom. And that's a really good description. You feel like either you're going to drop dead, you're going to faint, you're going to have a heart attack. Like, something feels off incredibly inside of you, and you don't know what to do. And that kept happening to me. And finally, one day, I walked downstairs. I was about to ready to have dinner with my family, and this feeling came back. It just overwhelmed me. My chest tightened up. My arm tightened up, and I thought, I'm having a heart attack. Like, it freaked me out. I thought I was going to drop dead in front of my whole family. So I told my wife to call 911, and my little girls, you know, I told them, go in that room. Like, we locked them in a room so they could play, because I didn't want them to see me. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I thought, I don't want them to be scarred for life. Like, I thought this was it. And the ambulance came. My heart rate was through the roof. I felt confused, scared. And after this kept happening, I realized these are panic attacks. They kept running tests on my heart. They did a brain scan, because one of my panic attacks, my whole left side of my face was numb. Like, couldn't feel it. So I thought I was having a stroke. So these were incredibly debilitating, because they would feel like not only something's wrong, but they mimic strokes, heart attacks. So you don't know if you're going to die. You don't know what it is, but it was just severe anxiety. And at that point, I was like, I don't ever want to feel this again. I don't want to maintain this. I don't want to manage this. I want to get this feeling gone, ridden, like, from my being. I never want to experience this again. And so that's what kind of started me on, what's the root of this? Like, I don't want medication. This isn't working. I don't want therapy. That's not working. And I found out why they didn't work. But ultimately, it was so scary and debilitating that I had to find a way out.
So you really found your own way. So what kind of, did you experiment with lots of different things? Did you read a lot of books, try a lot of different things at this point?
Yeah, I was actually in the waiting room of the hospital, or the ER, because I went like three times before I knew what was going on. I thought I was gonna die, right? So I'm in the waiting room, and when I realized what it was, a panic attack, I bought this ebook, and the ebook was talking about panic attack, described it exactly as I felt. I'm like, oh, this is the answer, right? And it was saying, like, in order to overcome a panic attack, you need to like be counterintuitive and demand more of it. Like, say, bring it on, like, bring it on, come on, and it will shut down. And I thought, cool, I got the answer. And I tried it a couple times, but then I realized they kept happening. Like, this was not a end-all technique. This was like a way to kind of like shut it down, block it out when it was happening, but it was still in my being. And I realized the author still has panic attacks. Why? You know, that's effective for some people. That's an answer for some people. But all of these methods I tried were like that. People tell you to calm down, right? Which makes sense, right? Calming down is good. It's logical. But when you calm down, or when you force the panic attack away, or you're basically bypassing that emotion. Something inside of you wants out. Like, it needs to be processed, because everything we have ever pushed away in our life, every experience we've ever felt uncomfortable with, emotion we've pushed away, it's still inside of us, all of us. And so when this stuff comes up, if you try to say, you know, bring it on, give me more. Like, and you're pushing it away, or you're fighting it, or you're trying to manipulate it, or you're trying to focus on your breath. Any of those tactics, you're using your mind to fight your mind. You can't end panic attacks with your mind, because control is the issue. Your mind is conditioned to control your environment and internal things, to manipulate, to force things, to make them so that things are feel good to you, right? So the antidote, the release of this is not in the mind. This is more of an emotional issue and releasing the control that the mind has. So when I realized that, that's when the real journey started, and I started figuring out intuitively and with some help how to actually release a lot of this trapped emotion that's causing this.
So you found, was it a particular like emotion that had been like trapped over time, or a significant event, or a buildup of multiple things? Did you kind of discover as you went on?
I believe most of what was underneath my anxiety was anger. And you know, people might be listening to this and be like, those are two different emotions, but underneath anxiety are other emotions. Because think about this for a second. Anxiety, what you're doing with it, when you feel anxiety, you're trying to think ahead, plan ahead, to try to make things okay, right? You're worrying ahead of time to try to manipulate your environment or your schedule or your day to make sure things align the way you want them to feel good, right? But the reason you have anxiety is because you're afraid of things that won't make you feel good. You're afraid of moments that will poke you, right? That's what I call it. You're afraid of moments that might make you angry or upset or frustrated, right? So you protect yourself from all this, like Pandora's box, trying to release from your body. So for me personally, there was a lot of anger, rage, frustration from my life, partly because of my conditioning. You know, we all have conditioning of the mind. I was very much a perfectionist, want to do well type of person. And the reason I think I built up so much anger was because I was the nice guy. I was the obedient kid who always said yes and looked up to adults and never pushed back or confronted them. Like, I always nodded and agreed and held in a lot of my frustration and disagreements throughout life. And that built up to a point of almost explosion, you know, where I was just dying to come out and be processed, but I just kept pushing it away. It was so uncomfortable.
And thanks for sharing all you have. And now you said you weren't as comfortable. There was a point where you wouldn't be comfortable, but now you seem to be sharing your story with people. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you something on that. Like, last, it was 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, my grandfather committed suicide. Oh, wow. And, you know, he's 90 years old. And it destroyed me in that moment, because I was, believe it or not, the emotion that came up the most was anger. It was rage. I was so angry that, you know, he didn't leave a note, devastated the family, left blood everywhere all over the house. You know, sorry to be graphic. But the reason I was so enraged, I didn't have a perspective. I didn't understand him. I wanted to be righteous, right? The reason I felt so much dissonance there is because I didn't understand his perspective. And the reason I share that is because that's the antidote for a lot of this emotion. We have so much resistance to life and other people because we don't understand them, and we don't put ourselves in their shoes to understand their perspective, not from a right or a wrong, right? It has nothing to do with being right or wrong. So I was pissed off for 2 months at him, like enraged, and it was affecting me. Like, I was, it brought up more anxiety, it brought up more turmoil. I just couldn't focus, right? And it actually happened right before I won my second national championship. Like, I was so mad at him. Like, I'm about to try to compete, and this came up. Like, it was just all kinds of nastiness. And I realized it was all stuff I was holding in. So one day, a friend asked me, I was like, do you still love your grandpa? And I was like, I don't want to talk about, like, I don't want to say it. I do, but I don't, I'm so mad at him right now. And that night I went to bed and I was like, man, I'm holding all this in. And I said, I literally put my head on the pillow and I said, Grandpa, I won't ever agree with what you did. I don't think I'll ever agree with what you did, but I love you. And in that moment, an elephant of rage flew off my shoulders.
Wow.
It was so noticeable. Like, I was like, what the F just happened? Because it was like visceral. I could feel it. And I thought this was crazy. I actually went back to some of my memories that I was so enraged at. I couldn't get mad. It was gone.
Wow.
Completely.
From that one.
I couldn't get mad if I tried. From that forgiveness. Yeah.
Wow.
And so in that moment, I learned forgiveness. I learned what real forgiveness was. And that forgiveness can actually be a tool to release old trapped emotions. Forgiveness, the reason people struggle with forgiveness, and I did, is because we think it's about being right or wrong.
Mm.
Forgiveness has nothing to do with right or wrong. Forgiveness is about forgiving your perspective of what happened, your judgment. Because that's all it is. It's, I judged what he did based on my limited perspective of the world. Right? Mm. It's not about right, that he did right or wrong. It has nothing to do with that. So I internally judged him. And so to forgive, I had to sit in his shoes for a second, understand, maybe I don't understand what he did, but understand he was doing the best he could. And I was able to forgive from that place. So when you forgive, you go from like this narrow perspective, right? Because we're only one perspective. It's narrow. We crack open our perspective of the world when we start sitting in other people's shoes and forgiving our judgments, right? And by doing this, by widening your perspective, you release a lot of the judgments and trapped emotions that you have, right, internally, naturally. Things don't bother you as much. And you have a wider, more unconditionally accepting perspective of the world, which helps with anxiety and all of these distortions immensely, right? Because you're cracking yourself open. You're opening your heart. You're opening your mind, literally. And so that moment was a pivotal moment for me. After that, I literally made a list of everyone and everything that bothered me. And I just, over the next couple of weeks, I just like went through that process of like letting go of that stuff.
Mm.
And that was one of the things that changed my life.
One by one on that list. Did you do one by one on that list, or was it like multiple at a time? Or did you have to specifically put that intention to one each time?
It was like one at a time.
Mm.
I tried, you know, I was like the type of guy that wanted to hack it and like do a bunch in one day. And it's
yeah,
your body needs time to integrate. Like if there's a process to it. So physically, you actually feel a release. Like you'll either cry or you'll feel this like tingles. I would feel tingles like up and down when it released. It was like visceral, kind of like the elephant went off my shoulders, only like more subtle. And your body needs time to rest and to integrate to see that perspective differently. So as much as I would want to do them all in one shot, I don't think it's possible.
Mm, got you. Yeah. So just kind of like recapping, like I love what you said there about forgiveness, because I know in the past, particularly in my 20s, like if I fell out of someone, it was like, well, it wasn't right what they did. And there's all this like ego comes into like forgiveness. And as I've developed, I've been able to have more of a kind of loving approach to life. You know, I'm still working on that. I think we all are. But and it gives us challenges to be that kind of more loving person, I think, and more forgiving sort of individual. But your process with this forgiveness, it's about looking at the situation or the person that's involved, and then it's about seeing in their shoes, right? And then it's about seeing what your perspective is, the meaning perhaps you were seeing at a time, and forgiving that. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll walk you through basically what I do. And I teach my clients this too. Sit in their shoes. Like literally close your eyes, go to a memory of them that bothers you if you need to. and sit in their shoes. Like, imagine you are them. Imagine you got their shoes on. You've got their schedule. You've got their upbringing. Even if you don't know, you can sort of, it puts you into curiosity. Because the opposite of judgment is curiosity. So if you're curious, you're not going to be judging. Right? So get curious. And it's painful. Right? You will feel tight or frustrated or angry or sad. Or fear. That's okay. Like, you're meant to, because that's still inside of you. That's what you need to work for. So whatever comes up, you just let that emotion do what it needs to do. You don't push that away, because that's the stuff you've been pushing away your whole life, or however long you've held it in. That's the stuff that you, that's the release I'm talking about. So however long it needs, you know, with my grandpa, it took 10 seconds that night, whereas, you know, I was enraged for 2 months at him, and then 10 seconds it lifted. But feel that emotion, let it be. Like, don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to cry it out faster. Like, just let it be. And once it releases, and it will, it might not release that night. You might have to try again, you know, if it's something that's really big, but a lot of times it'll release that night. Something big will release. And when that happens, you'll have a perspective shift. You from that release will get a new insight or a lesson or a gift from that. A new appreciation or just a perspective understanding. You will crack open. And it's profound. It's life-changing. Your mind wants to find the lesson. It's not going to come to your mind. It's going to come to your heart. Like, you will know it. You will feel it. You'll understand them better. It's just amazing. And again, it's not about right or wrong. It's just understanding that judgment is what's holding you back. Judgment is what's holding all this stuff inside of you.
So yeah, feeling it, and then that perception will come to you, but you've got to allow it, but not force it. Because I think now it's like, get rid of this emotion.
Yeah.
That just creates more like frustration by, you know, saying that.
Well, that's what people with anxiety, and I know this, the problem with anxiety is you try to control everything. Like you just said, that example of get it out of me faster, or is there a hack I can do to cry it out faster? Is there a breath I can do to get it out faster? Is there a technique, right? That's all force. That's why we have anxiety, is because we're trying to control everything. Right? So we have to learn how to let go and let that stuff process. Like, it takes learning. It's so simple to say it, but it's very hard to do. If you've conditioned your mind to control and manipulate and force every little thing you can to try to hack it or accelerate it or whatever, right? The way you move through this emotion and anxiety is get out of the mind, which is very hard initially.
Is there any ways you found, we talked about feeling into like the emotions, is there anything you found in terms of tools or practices that's allowed you more to get out of the mind and perhaps into the body, into feeling some things?
Yeah, I mean, I teach this to my students in my program, but everyone who has anxiety, I mean, everyone on this planet basically needs a regulated nervous system. And if you have anxiety, or you're overthinker, you procrastinate, you're overwhelmed, which I was, and still have those tendencies show up from time to time, you need a regulated nervous system.
Yeah.
Like, there's no negotiating that at all. Because what that really means is, most of the time, if you're in anxiety, you always feel like you have to be doing something. I always have to be productive. Even when you're sitting down for lunch, you're thinking ahead. Even when you're sitting in a movie, you're trying to plan the next day. Like, you're always doing in your head. Or doing, right? That's essentially anxiety. That's a overactive nervous system, sympathetic nervous system. What we have to do is we have to shut that off and rest and repair. And that doesn't just mean a good night's sleep. Everyone knows they need sleep. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about turning off the activation of your nervous system. And I have a practice of basically, I've learned this from a couple other people, of laying down in bed flat and just surrendering the weight of your body, releasing all of your muscles, big muscles, little muscles, up and down, relaxing your breath and just letting whatever happens happen. And this is very hard for people because they want to like, what should I do with, you know, you're laying there and you're like thinking, what do I do about this thought? What do I do about, should I really relax that muscle? And you know, your mind is still going. So I teach people how to let go of the mind, not shut it off, not calm it, not force it, because that's force. If you're trying to calm your mind, if you're trying to shut off your mind, you're still forcing, you're still, right? It's still control. So we have to completely let go so that our nervous system comes back into balance and we're regulated. And when you're regulated, you're more present, grounded, but you can process massive amounts of emotion and voltage naturally, because your body is relaxed. There's no tension, right? If you're tense, right? Which I was very tense when I had anxiety. I had tension, headaches, you know, shoulders, neck, scalp, jaw was like tight. That means you're holding stuff in. You're literally holding trapped emotions in your body, right? So we need to relax that. We need to release that so our body can work properly. And so I teach that. That's number one. Like that's a necessary thing for pretty much anyone. And, you know, I'll say this. A lot of people think like just taking a bath will help, or, you know, a massage. And those are good. Like I'm not saying those are bad in any way. But what I'm saying is, how many times do you take a bath and your mind's running? You're still in sympathetic nervous system. How many times you get a massage, but the massage will help relax your muscles, but it's not getting to the real root of why you keep tensing up, right? But you're holding in all that emotion. So I believe, like I'll say this to anyone, I believe the method I teach is the best way to balance your nervous system. Because people try all kinds of things, not that they don't work, but I think what I do is just incredibly effective and as quick as you can do it without trying all these other, you know, fun things.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I love that. Like trying not, I think particularly with anxiety, where trying not to push it and or not trying to force it. It's about allowing it, you know. And then I like what you talked about, lying on your back, a really, really good technique. It's interesting. I was doing breath work. We talked about breath work. I've done, you know, quite a bit, but I was doing, not an expert or practitioner by any means, but just my experiences with it. And just the times when I'm just trying to think about like the breath and I'm just like, right, I need to release this. This is what I want to release. This needs to happen. Yeah. Rather than just those experiences where I'm just like, okay, let's breathe. Oh, let's feel into the body. And then just things naturally release, things come up as they're meant to. That's what I personally found with breath work relating to similar to what you said.
That's a perfect example. Is we're like, what do I need to do here? What can I do better? What do I need to let go of? I want this to happen, right? That's such a mind thing, right? That's such a conditioned thing in all of us who had anxiety. That's what's holding the anxiety in, is that conditioning. That's why you can't get to the root and release anxiety or panic attacks by using, you know, mental techniques, because it's limiting. Your mind is actually the issue. But it's beyond it. So letting go, like how do you let go of something, right? If I'm holding a balloon, how do I let go of it? Of course, I open my hand, but I relax my muscles. I release all control of my muscles. And so in order to release your mind, you have to release all of your muscles and release your mind. And it will recondition you to let go of that.
I like that analogy of, yeah, letting go of the balloon. That's a great example. So, John, a couple of things I just want to kind of like ask you before we sort of like round off today. But your techniques with like anxiety, I love this perspective. Or, you know, and you know what you shared with your journey on panic attacks is hugely valuable to the world. But if you were to give your like number one tip on self-confidence today, this is a question I always ask guests, what would it be? Maybe it's something we've talked about today, or maybe it's something else.
Yeah. Talking about self-confidence, I mean, I think the only way to build confidence is through experience. And it doesn't mean doing action. It can. Of course, that's obvious, but you can build experience on your own in the quiet of your room, moving through an intense emotion. Right? The reason I have confidence right now sharing all this stuff with you is not because I went out into the world and taught a bunch of people how to overcome panic attacks. I lived it. And I sat in my room and I felt intense emotions and I forgave and I felt all this. So I'm extremely confident in knowing that it works because of my experience in it. So whatever you go through, right? The next layer for you will build confidence naturally if you lean into it.
I love that. Yeah, actually living the experience and going through it to build that competence, therefore the confidence. Beautiful. Love that one. So, John, you know, there's so much more value I know you give. You've given a ton today and things you're doing for the world. Where can the listener find out more from you or connect with you if they want to find out a little bit more about your work?
Yeah, if you personally are struggling with crippling anxiety or panic attacks, I have a very specific program for that I run specifically in a group container with modules. You can go to releasepanic.com and find out the details of that and all the format and any questions of that. I'd be happy to, if you want to email me any questions you have on that too. But this is the work we go into. We go into the real stuff, the emotional stuff, which is the root of it. And not all the mainstream mental techniques that you've probably tried that haven't fully worked for you. So if you're interested in that, I'm happy to help. I will say this, if you are interested in this, you have to have a willingness to be courageous to move through this, because it will be difficult. It's difficult life if you hold everything in and live in anxiety, but it's also a difficult path to move through it. But I can assure you, if you're willing to be in a safe container and move through this, that you will move through all of that, because it's worked for so many people.
Much more reward on one path than the other that you've demonstrated. So John, a massive thank you once again for everything you shared today. And thank you so much for your time for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having the real talk we needed. So I appreciate being here.
Of course. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.